Welcome again to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor. It's by William Gurnall, the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're talking about the Christian's breastplate, which is righteousness or holiness, and he wants to give us now guidance for the Christian who desires holiness. How to maintain holiness. Number one, lay a good foundation. There is only one foundation for you to build a beautiful structure of righteousness on, and that's a heart changed by the power of God's sanctifying Spirit in you. You must be holy before you can live a holy life. If a ship has not been constructed right, it will never sail properly. And if your heart has not been molded again by the Spirit's workmanship and fashioned according to the law of the new creature, you will never have a holy walk, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It is grace in the vessel of the heart which feeds profession in the lamp, holiness in the life. This thorough change of heart needs to be examined through two questions. A, what do you think about sin? There was a time when sin looked as good to you as it did to Adam, when Eve offered him the forbidden fruit. And unless you change your mind, it will always seem pleasant. Circumstances might keep you from expressing that secret longing for sin, but inwardly, your heart will be continually hankering after it. When two lovers are kept apart by their friends, one will eventually break loose and escape to the other, as long as their affection stays strong. Thus, lust will lure you back again and again, unless you are convicted to hate it as much as you once loved it. B, are you content to live in Christ? There is no reason to fear degeneration after Christ has tied you to his service by the heartstrings of love. The devil finds it easy to separate a person from kingdom work when the person never really liked doing it anyway. A student learns more in a week when he is pleased with the sweet taste of learning than he will in a month when he attends class merely to please his teacher. A man is diligent about the thing that satisfies him. If a person's heart is turned to his garden, for instance, it will become a beautiful place. Out of his excitement, he spends hours of hard work growing rare, delicate flowers that please him. The soul that really loves Christ, then, delights in holiness and spends all his strength on it. If only this man can be more holy, he does not mind if he is behind in every other race. Next, keep your eyes on the right rule. Every calling has its own rule, peculiar to itself, to go by, and we must study to get insight into it. Men vary their methods and means in earthly professions, and even in the same trade there always seems to be an exception or appendage to the rule. But no calling affords a more sure and perfect standard than the Christian's. The saint has one standing rule, the Word of God, which is able to perfect him. If you want to excel in the power of holiness, you must study the Bible. The doctor consults with his Galen, and the attorney with his Littleton, and the philosopher with his Aristotle, the masters of those arts. How much more, then, should the Christian consult the Word to settle questions and provide answers? My brother, you probably feel pulled in several directions at once. Business dictates one thing, friends recommend something else, common sense reasons in still a different vein, and pleasure beckons beyond them all. That is when you need to consider seriously the question that Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" 1 Kings 22:7. Does God not open my understanding of his word and show a place in it where I can run and be sure to find truth? Now there are three ways for men to miss God's direction, each one a precarious bypass to the power of holiness. Some walk by no rule, others by a false rule, still others by the true rule, but only partially. The first is the rebellious harlot. The second is the superstitious zealot. The third is the hypocrite. Stay free of all three, unless you intend to lay the knife to the throat of holiness. A. Do not ignore God's rule. Liberal men try to stretch their freedom by saying the law is not a rule for Christians. But Christ baptized the law and gospelized it, both by preaching it as a rule of holiness in his sermons and walking out his life according to that rule. Any principle which takes away the standard for a righteous life may be indicted as a murderer of holiness. This is Satan's subtle way of surprising the Christian traveler. If he can make the saint so weary of his guide that he sends him away, it will not be long before he will wander out of heaven's way and fall into the roads of hell. The apostle tells us of a generation who, while they promise themselves liberty, are the servants of corruption, 2 Peter 2:19. People who slip off the yoke of God's command under the pretense of liberty soon stoop under a far worse bondage, the heavy yoke of sin. B. Do not walk by a false rule. Anything contrary to God's word is false. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, Isaiah 8:20. But we must not ever go beyond what is written. This is what Scripture calls righteous overmuch, Ecclesiastes 7:16. Remember, the man who has three hands is just as deformed as the person who has only one. A curse is stored up for the man who adds to, as well as for him who takes away from, the word of Scripture. It is one of Satan's oldest designs to undermine scriptural holiness by extolling fictitious holiness. He knows too well that as the pot boils over and puts out the fire, he can quench real holiness by making men's zeal spill out into a false holiness. At last, their fervor will disappear and be displaced by cold atheism. Now, the Pharisee has to eke out God's commands with the traditions of men, and his son and heir lives by holy orders, unwritten doctrines and rules for a more stern life than God ever thought about requiring. I warn you strictly, stay away from will holiness and will worship. God handed down a heavy decision against his chosen people concerning their strong will. Hosea 8:14, Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. How can a person forget God but be devout enough to erect temples? Israel built them without God, for he counts himself forgotten when people forget to live by his word. Holiness, which is the product of our own heart, is not holiness after God's heart. Jeroboam's great sin was that he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel in the month which he had devised of his own heart, 1 Kings 12:33. The penalty which falls upon such bold men is that God gives them over to real unholiness, for pretending to have more holiness than they actually have. God will not let his children be self-movers. It is a worse sin to do what we are not commanded than not to do what we are commanded by God. A citizen becomes a worse criminal when he presumes he can make the law out of his own head than when he does not obey the law which his ruler is carrying out. Because God is the only one who can declare holiness, we grab his royal scepter out of his hand every time we try to set up a holiness of our own. C. Do not use only part of the true rule. If you do not square every part of your life by the rule, the whole frame is distorted. Diverse measures are an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 20:10. an honest businessman uses the same measure according to the law for all his transactions, and a holy man uses only one rule, the word of God, for all his actions. How hateful the Jews' hypocrisy must have seemed to God. They did not dare enter the judgment hall for fear of becoming unclean. Yet they rushed in to wash their hands in Christ's blood. And the Pharisees observed the strict letter of the law in tithing anise and cumin, but ignored the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. How would you feel about a customer who bought a penny's worth of merchandise but turned around and stole a dollar's worth from you? Or the debtor who punctually paid trivial debts only to cheat you out of a larger sum? It is horrible wickedness to comply with Scripture in little matters as part of a scheme to commit great secret sins against God. And then keep your motive pure. Do not ever think your righteousness can buy anything from God. Heaven is not for sale. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives to us what He sold to Christ. Believers are only heirs of what God's Son has bought from the Father. By claiming anything of God in our own righteousness, we shut ourselves out from having any benefit of His righteousness. We cannot be in two places at the same time. If we are found leaning on our own house, we cannot also be found abiding in Christ. Satan's policy is to crack the breastplate of righteousness by beating it out farther than the metal can bend. And every time you trust in this distortion, you destroy the very nature and purpose of the armor. Your righteousness becomes unrighteousness, and your holiness degenerates into wickedness. Is anything worse than pride? Such a pride which runs rampant over the way which God Himself has made for saving souls. If you really want to be holy, be humble, because the two are clasped together. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Micah 6:8. God has not asked you to earn heaven by your holiness, but to show love and thankfulness to Christ who earned it for you. And thus we have insight into the way Christ persuaded His disciples to walk in holiness. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It is as if He had said, "You know why I came and why I'm going out of the world. I lay down my life and take it up again to intercede for you. If you value these deeds and the blessed fruit you reap from them, prove it by loving me enough to keep my commandments." When everything the saint does through Christ is offered up as a thanksgiving sacrifice to Him, then this is gospel holiness bred and fed by this love. Because Christ has loved us with love strong as death, our response is that of a bride in Song of Solomon, "I will give thee my loves." And this bride explains what is in her expression of love when she says, "All manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved." The saint in Solomon's song has confessed her faith in Christ and had drunk deeply of His love for her. And now to return His love in thankfulness, she stirred herself to entertain Him with the pleasant fruits of His own graces gathered from her holy behavior. She did not lay these fruits up to feed her pride and self-confidence, but reserved them for her beloved so he could have all the praise. Next time, we will talk about considering Christ as your example of the holy life and a few other topics about how to manifest this holiness, how to maintain this holiness that we are called to have a good breastplate upon us as a guard against the things of this world. Thank you so much for being here as always. Do look around the site. I think you're going to find other things that will be a blessing to you. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.